You want to take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts? We opened last Sunday, I guess, and I shared a little bit on believing versus fear. And how the apostles were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, and shared about how Peter certainly had changed from denying the Lord Jesus Christ six times to that day of Pentecost when he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and really laid it out there in a great preaching. And Monday, we heard that great teaching by Steve, those two great teachings by Steve on outreach and how the Word of God can move and how it moved in the first century church from one place to another, and certain things happened that transpired that helped outreach and things like of that nature. And then the next day, Bob shared on the new nature and the old nature, and he shared on the manifestations. And that sure was a blessing for all of us to hear that. I know that I hardly can wait to get back and go over my notes, because you know, you just start thinking about one and then there's another teaching. It's like, okay, we go to the next one. And that was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And then Michael, the next day, taught on prayer and how important it is in our lives to pray with our understanding and praying in the Spirit and for specific things and things that are according to God's Word and things like that. And then yesterday, Joe taught on how to handle pressure. And that was just fantastic. And it was just fantastic, fantastic week, filled with sharings in between and filled with your life and what you were doing between sessions or class, whatever we call these things, meetings, what you were doing. When the family of God functions really well, it's just a beautiful, beautiful movie. It's like the greatest movie you could ever see. It has drama, it has romance, it has comedy, it has, you know, whatever you would like in a science fiction in some cases. You know, it's just wild sometimes, the things God will do. The last verse in the book of Acts, 28, I think it is. And I think that's where we ought to start to be Acts 29, like Dean was talking about last night. That's not the first time I've heard Dean say that, and it's still the truth. We could live it even better. It says in verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence or boldness, no man forbidding him. That's how we ought to walk forth and go, and as we leave this place. So go to Acts 12. Kind of in a casual way, I guess, I prayed that no one would teach this. All week, I was kind of hoping, I don't know, or praying, I don't know. I was doing something, going, don't teach Acts 12, don't teach Acts 12. Not really, but kind of. I kind of wanted to share this. I had a whole nother thing scheduled, written out, you know. Let's go to 11:27. And it says, in these days came prophets. Prophets are people with ministries to the church, gift ministries for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Prophets, you know, they speak for God and things like that. And so they're men of God. And they came from Jerusalem unto what Steve called their headquarters, the Gentiles' headquarters in Antioch. And he stood up, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. He was one of the prophets, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. You know, I read that and I go, wow, yeah. How many times haven't I told people of some things that are going to happen and to watch out for, whether it be 3 or 4 years ago talking about how the Middle East is really going to be a problem and we really need to pray for no terror attacks and stuff like that, or I forget, different things. And it's not always, you know, fun. You know, people look at you and go, oh God, there he goes again. But one of the things people should do is be warned of things to come. If there's things that are bad to come, like in this case, a great dearth, you know, maybe they could do something about it to prepare, right? Okay, great. So, verse 29, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea. That's exactly what Bob did with the believers in Ecuador. That's exactly what happened. And I think that's commendable and biblical and right on to help people. And just fantastic. Man, oh man. It's funny, isn't it, Bob? How people will listen to you for the first time in their lives when tragedy strikes. Every other time they just kind of blow you off. But when there's tragedy, help! They're willing to do anything and everything. That's just people, as I was once told. Which also they did, and they sent it to the elders, and that's what Bob did, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. That doesn't sound good. It's not. Those certain of the church were leaders. If the adversary can pick off God's overseers, he's got everybody. If he can get to the people that oversee people, then he can get to everybody. So if you're an overseer, you're a target by the adversary. Whether you like it or not, whether you can sing, yes, it is Jesus, you're a target. That's why certain things happen sometimes that leaders especially don't like, to try to get you to stop, to try to stop preventing the movement of the word. If he can get to you as an overseer, he's got the whole thing. That's why it takes standing in 17,000 inches of cement or something, not budging from God's word. So the adversary knew this then and got Herod the king to put certain of these things out there, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Wouldn't it be something one day to find out that somebody murdered Steve Zalesi? That would be, yeah. I mean, murdered. Someone came to his house and shot Lita and shot Steve right in the head. Left him there to bleed out. What would your response be? You know, this happened in God's word. Tried to get Jesus off his game by beheading John the Baptist. John the Baptist got beheaded. And his head was served. I mean, it's just disgusting. Yeah, well, he killed John, and because he saw it pleased all the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. So he goes, you know, Herod, he was smart. He knew everybody got really happy because, what's his name? James was killed. He said, let's try Peter. And he apprehended him and put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter or the Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. It's amazing that this particular record has every subject that was covered this week. Here's Peter, he's a human being. James was killed. When he was taken, he must have known he was next. Well, how did the church respond? Prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So what did the church do? They got together. They gathered themselves together for 24 hours of prayer. And, you know, they had pictures of Peter dancing in a dance. And they had pictures of smiling Peter with, you know, a couple of the kids. You know, there's Peter. Had a picture of Peter with the word. There they were. The believers were gathered and they prayed. Not too different than when I was dying. Yeah, happy Jerry. That'd be a rare moment. Just kidding. You know, mind pictures of Jerry standing on the word, healthy. I get it. I mean, you know, I've done that for other people, of course, many times. So they get together and they pray. And when Herod would have brought him, Peter, forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. So James was murdered. Peter knew he was next, quote, end of quote. He had to battle fear there. Fear of death is perhaps the greatest fear there is. Peter's sleeping between two soldiers. My wife informs me it's hard enough sleeping with me because I snore and stuff. So Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So here's Peter. He's, I don't know what they laid on, but he's sleeping between two soldiers and they're bound with chains. And then right outside the prison door, there's keepers. There's more than one. Golly, man, have any of you been to jail? Well, maybe you don't want to say. Have any of you been in jail? Anybody? I've been in jail. Yeah. Here's a go. I used the name of the Lord Jesus Christ without revelation. I had a group of people, wows, who decided to break all the rules that they were under, you know. They left their area. They went to a bigger city. They went to a bar. They got drunk. And they burned the bar down. You know. So they got thrown in jail. Can you imagine getting thrown in jail for something like that? So they had their call. They called me. I got all the rest of the wows together and prayed. And then I headed out to try to bail them out. So I get there. You go to a bail bondsman. Was that what you do? I don't remember. But I did what I was supposed to do. Went to the jail. They released the two guys, the two fellas, the sweet men that they were. And that was great, but they didn't give them their shoes. I said, you got to give them their shoes. Hey, they got shoes. They came in with shoes. They said, no, we're not giving them their shoes. I said, well, the hell you're not. You're giving them their shoes. And they kind of said, well, you know, you be quiet. We're not giving them their shoes. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, give them their shoes. Next thing I knew, I got hit in the back of the head with a billy club. And the next thing I knew, I was in jail. They were free. Yeah, I learned a lot that night. But I can't imagine this whole business of sleeping between two guards, you know, that are chained to me. He was sleeping. Did he have to battle fear? You bet. But I think he went to sleep believing that God was going to take care of him. Believing versus fear. There it is. I don't think he knew everything that was going to happen, judging from the next couple verses. And behold, verse 7, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And an angel is a sent one from God. A sent one from God to deliver a message verbatim, or sent on an assignment to complete the assignment. That's what an angel, angels of God are. They're sent ones. We had a few of them during 9/11 that helped believers. Just incredible. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of story. And they don't have wings necessarily, or halos, or, you know, a bright cloud over their head. Not necessarily, you know, but anyway, they're sent ones, okay? You got that? To help, to deliver a message verbatim, or to take care of a situation. And this angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison. Now, this is just wild. You got to just picture this. All right, have any of you ever visited a jail? Yeah. They're nice, right? No, they're not nice. And I can't imagine that they were any nicer than today's facility, you know, then. I'm sure they were worse. And here they are in jail, and all of a sudden this angel of the Lord comes and, bing, a light shines. Can you imagine? Try to imagine. It's one of the greatest ways to learn the word. Think about it. Don't go by these verses quickly. Think about what's happening. Who, when, why, what, how, where. Consider time. Man, a light shine. Woo, woo. I don't know if it went woo, woo. And he smote Peter on the side. Can you imagine getting hit by an angel? You're minding your own business, believing God, sleeping, and an angel hits you. I don't know exactly what this is. And I don't know the Greek word for smote. But he hit him. On the side. On the side, you know, hit him on the side. Not on the back, not on the front, but on the what? Side. Hit him on the side. And he smote him on the side and he raised him up, saying, get up quickly. And as he got up, his chains fell off. Boy, back in the Gospels, Peter was, I love Peter, because he was impetuous, I guess is what they say. But he argued with the Lord. He did stuff that wasn't right. I love people like that. I don't like perfect people because they're not perfect at all. They're usually a big hypocrite. I like people that are real. That's why I like you, because you ain't too perfect. And most of you know that. So he gets up, and as he gets up, the chains fall from his hands, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Put your clothes on. Used to be a saying in Oakland that meant get tough. And it was called, put your pants on. Did you ever hear that in Sausalito, Steve? No. I didn't think so. I'm just kidding. So gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he did. He went out and he followed him. So here we have somebody who is believing, obeying, following, listening. Those are big keys to growing, man. Dean talked about it last night. Following, learning to take directions from ones that you would consider overseers or ones that you admire in the Word. They're for you. Certainly an angel of the Lord was for him. And he followed him. He did exactly what he was told. And he went out and followed him, verse 9. It says followed him. And wist, I love that word. Not, he didn't know that it was true, which was done by the angels, but he thought he saw a vision. He didn't know really what was going on. He didn't know. He didn't put it all together yet. I talked to you about that boat incident with me, right? You know, it's when I got back to the hotel that I went, oh, what did just happen? The devil tried to kill us and other people. And I was calm. At the time I was putting it together, I wasn't too calm. I was calm and peaceful, and God did this great thing with the ocean and made it calm, and nobody got, you know, it's like, wow. So Peter doesn't really know this was, he doesn't have it all together. And they're still walking. They were past the first and the second ward. They came into the iron gate that leadeth to the city. And I have this picture of this giant iron gate. You know how your mind can, you know, picture things. I got this picture of this old, I don't know why. This is my picture. This old, big, huge iron gate. Let's continue. Have you ever been to prison? I used to teach at San Quentin Prison once a week for a year. And they have these big doors, and I believe you me, when those doors close behind you, they make some kind of weird sound. Man, it's like boom. And then you go through another one, boom, and then, you know, woo, wee. You go to a prison, they're not pretty. And here, so I have this mind picture, this big, huge iron gate that leadeth to the city. You ever see the opening of the Blues Brothers? If you haven't, you're probably out of fellowship. I mean, that is one of the greatest movies ever made in the history of cinematography. But it shows John Belushi leaving the prison. And there's this huge, you know, big thing behind him, where his Blues Brother Elwood is there for him with his car. So it's just a beautiful thing. Anyway, we're back in here. A big iron gate, and which led to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Can you imagine that? Peter's still putting it all together. Now he's at the iron gate, and all of a sudden the thing goes, whatever a gate makes a noise. That's probably a bad gate imitation. But it just opens. They don't push it. There's nobody going, and the gate's opening. No, it just opens of its own accord. Put yourself there. So, what would you have done? I'll tell you what I would have done. They went out. That's what I would have done. They went out and passed on through one street. So they passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Why did he depart from him? His job was done. He was done. He was going to go take a rest. He did what he was supposed to do. He got Peter out of the prison, hit him in the side, said, put on your clothes. He started with the light show, you know. Told him what to do. Peter did it. Got him through the gate. Nay, just to make sure he went an extra block. And then he left. Then he left. His job was done. Now, Peter had not really put it together that it was an angel that did all this. So here's Peter. Can you imagine now? Can you imagine this? It had to be night. He was sleeping. It's dark out. He walked down a block with, you know, an angel. And then, where'd he go? And Peter just went like this. And it says, and when Peter was come to himself, when he put it together, I can't imagine him alone putting this stuff together. Well, I can't imagine it. He said, now I know this is it of a surety that the Lord sent his angel. This is what it was. Holy smokes! And he delivered me out of the hand of Herod. He delivered me from death. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can imagine what he was doing. Certainly he was tempted to be afraid. Certainly prayer was being made. And certainly God's power was manifested in a tremendous way to bring him an angel to help him escape out of death's door. And he's standing there putting this whole thing together. I know that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Expectation is like believing. The believing of the Jews were, he's going to die. And aren't we going to celebrate? We got John. James. Got James. Now we got Peter. This is going to be a great day. That was what they expected. And how God had delivered him from Herod. And all of the expectation of the people. Oh. Peter must have been believing because he was sleeping. But he never quite thought that he didn't have it all figured out, let's say. He just knew God was God. And God sent him an angel. And he didn't have any idea what was going on with that. He just was appreciative that the chains fell off and the light went on. It was nice of God to put a light in there so he could see. And then gets to the gate. The gate opens of its own accord. The angel's singing, "Yes, it is Jesus," down for a block. And then he's gone. And Peter puts this all together. Finally puts it together. In verse 11, again, he delivered Peter out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people. Verse 12, and when he had considered this thing, when he thought about it, he was putting more stuff together, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. That's John Mark. Where many were gathered together praying. So we saw in Acts 4, after, you know, they got in trouble again for speaking the word and stuff. And God had written that first recorded prayer. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant it to thy servants that we may speak thy word with all what? Yeah. We see that prayer, and then the place was shaken together. God answered that prayer, and Peter reported everything that happened. And that's something that's really important too. The last advance that we did, and whenever it was, just a couple months ago, I got criticized for sharing so many stories. You know, you had no idea. Hey, you know, people were complaining. You know, I talk about incidents, or I talk about Dr. Wero, I talk about this, you know. You know, I noticed that in the book of Acts, they did that quite frequently. They shared incidents that happened, things that happened that blessed them. Or there was a report of things that happened great. And of course, God's word always would move on the heels of those great things. What if nobody ever knew? Somebody's got to die. I'm happy about the things God's done for me. Now, if I use that and didn't share the word, then you'd have a problem, and you should have a problem. But, oh man, come on. This thing's got to be living in 2010. When is this? 16? You know, it's not some old fogey book that's just back then it worked for them. It works for me. It works for you. Now, if you needed an angel of the Lord to open these gates, then God would do that for you. And we have to have that kind of confidence in our Heavenly Father. Nothing too great or small. Could be a cold, could be an allergy, could be cancer, it could be AIDS, it could be a broken heart, it could be anything, but there's nothing too great or small for our Heavenly Father. And our expectation, our believing, our comfort, confidence, our trust should be that God will take care of us. And He does, and He will. So, he's at the crossroads. No, he's a block away. He puts his stuff together and he goes, well, I'm going to go over there to Mary's house. You know, I imagine he needed to go somewhere and be with people. So where did he go? He didn't go to his aunt's. He didn't go to his cousin. He didn't go to his nephew's. Hey, too many times, the first place we go is the last place we should go. Go to the believers. Get help from believers. Get comfort from believers. Get healing from believers. Get prayed for by believers. Aunt Susie ain't going to do it for you. She'll bake you a cake or something, and that's great. Have a nice cake. What's it do for you? It just fills your stomach with sugar. So he goes where there's believers. Where do we go? So Peter goes to Mary's house. Now, I don't know that he knew that there were many there together praying. I don't know. Maybe did, maybe didn't. But he knew Mary was there. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel called came to hearken named Rhoda. Now, in the lands and times of the Bible, they didn't have doorbells. Believe it or not, they didn't have doorbells. So what did they do to get the attention of the people in the home to let them know there was somebody at the door? Juan, what was that? Yeah, that's right. They called. Hello, Mary. Yo, Mary. It was the night, you know, it was the night. So he may have said it really loud. Don't know. But I know a damsel came to hearken. Named what? A damsel in some text was someone that was really young, like under 8 or 7 years old. This is a little girl. She comes. She hears Peter. She may have been in bed. I don't know, but she comes to the door. The gate there, the word gate is the porch. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, how about that? She was familiar with Peter's voice. She knew what old Peter sounded like. Anybody home? You know, that sounds like Peter. I'm going to go say that, Peter. Aren't my parents praying for Peter? I saw some pictures come in. Yeah. And when she knew the voice of Peter, she opened not the gate. She didn't open the door for gladness, but instead she ran in and interrupted prayer. Oh, Lord. They're staying their mind on Peter. Father, I see Peter teaching again. He's teaching. So she hears his voice. She knows it's Peter's voice. Instead of answering the door, she ran into the prayer room and stood before him, and she told him how Peter stood before the gate. And they said, can't you see, Rhoda, we are praying for Peter? What are you, nuts? What's, you know, I'm praying, we got a group here. Okay, can you see that? Aren't you supposed to be in bed? You're nuts. Rhoda, you're nuts. But she didn't stop like a little kid wouldn't. An adult might back off. You don't understand. Peter's at the door. Peter is at the door. I'm telling you. You can call me crazy all you want, but Peter's at the damn door. Oops, I swore. Oh. Well, hey, she didn't shut up, man. She constantly confirmed it. She kept at it like that woman in Luke 18. Yeah, and she said, hey, yeah, it is too, Peter, it is too. They said, it's his angel. Anything to get rid of her? No. But Peter didn't stop calling. Hey, I'm out here. Hey, anybody home? It's Peter. In case you didn't recognize my voice. He stayed at it. And finally, these prayer warriors realized it was Peter. And when they opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. It means they were amazed. They were blown away. Now, you might say, well, I thought they were believing. They were, dang it. They were praying and they were believing God. Don't you ever think that they weren't. But sometimes the realization of an answered prayer, you just kind of go, what? What? Or don't you? I do. I just get, whoa, that happened? And here you're praying for it to happen. And then you say, you're kidding me. You were praying, you were believing, but the reality of the bigness and the fullness of answered prayer sometimes, it just blows our mind, and it ought to bless us, and we ought to go, I mean, you know, are you the cat? You just got healed of leukemia, and you're just like, that's great. I knew that. I knew it all along. No, you'd get kind of excited. I hate to keep bringing myself up, but you know, I imagined that night, and I was still in a coma, basically, and they found out that the tumor or whatever it was that I had was completely gone. From what I understand, there was tequila served. I wasn't there. In many, many ways, I wasn't there, but there was great rejoicing in the church. And that spread out all over the country, I suppose, for people who were praying for me. So they see Peter, and they were just like, wow, wow. But Peter, being the cool one that he was, he beckoned with his hand and said, chill out. It's okay. Peace, brothers. It's me. Pete is back. You know what I'm saying now. This stuff that I'm sharing with you in between the verses are all things that were in the original. So if I were you, I would take really good notes. I'm doing a Peter conference next week. They opened the door, they saw him, and they were just amazed. They were astounded. And he beckoning with the hand unto him, with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them, he told them what happened, how the Lord brought him out of prison. You know, so what did he share? He must have shared the light incident, the getting up and the chains falling off. You know, the iron gate, and you're not going to believe this. I'm standing there with this angel. And at the time, I didn't know it was an angel. I didn't know what the heck was going on. I really didn't. I knew God was doing stuff, but I don't know what happened. But the door, we didn't touch the door. I'm standing at the door, and all of a sudden the door opened. And then this angel walked me down a block. He disappeared. I don't know where he went. So I decided to come to you guys' house. And I had no idea all of you would be here. And here I am. God delivered me. God delivered me. Thank you for your prayers. Man, that God is good. We don't take our time to read the word and to think. These are people. And that's who the Lord's portion is. So, he shared. He shared. what the Lord, how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James. Hey, he didn't just share it with them, but you know what he did? He told them to share it with James. Tell them. It's good to do that. It's biblical to share incidents of your life, of how God blessed you, how God took care of you, how he delivered you, how he healed you. It's good to share that with people. None of the story with which Peter shared with these believers at Mary's house were scriptures. None of it. But it was the word. Go show these things. What things? The things that he declared unto them. What things were those? How God opened the prison doors, how the angel took them out. There were no scripture in Exodus about that. And so, share it with James and to the brethren. Not just James, but and to the brethren. So everyone, share it with everybody. Share it with James, share it with the believers. And he left, Peter left, and went to another place. What a night in his life. Bet he didn't sleep after that. He was sleeping before he was going to get killed. Now he's probably going to go to the Waffle House. Now, as soon as it was day, next day, next morning, there was no small stir or disturbance among the soldiers that, what happened to Peter? Where is Peter? And Herod, he's hotter than a firecracker. And when Herod had sought for him, looked for him, and found him not, he couldn't find him. He examined the keepers. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? They said they don't know, and that they should be put to death. Those people that were responsible for keeping Peter, they were going to be put to death. Herod liked to kill people. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. He didn't seem like a nice guy. He doesn't like anybody. Those Tyre people, the Sidonese. I'm just kidding. That's really not the name, Sidonese. Sidonese. And there's something coming up that I really want to warn you future parents of, okay? But we'll get there in a second. So Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. He was tired of them. But they came with one accord to him. In unity of purpose, they came to Herod, this mean man. And having made Blastus, okay, for you future parents, never name your kid Blastus. And having made Blastus the king's chamberlain, their friend desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. They wanted, of course, they wanted peace. They wanted food. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration of them. And the people gave a shout saying, it's the voice of a god, not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not glory to God, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Well, good for him. Happy to hear it. Good riddance. I've had 4 or 5 people threaten my life in the past. All of them died. Every single one of them within a very short period of time. I didn't pray for that. I would never pray for that unless God would tell me, but never. They all died. Well, not all. One ended up in life in prison. You don't mess with God's people. You don't mess. You can't get away. You might get away with it here on this earth, but you don't want to ever strike out at God's people, ever. But the word of God grew in what? And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So what do we have in this record? Well, we had the temptation to be afraid, and we had great believing. No question about it. Grew and multiplied indicates outreach. Prayer, they prayed. House was praying. They had pictures of Peter to prove it. The operation of the manifestations. Great deliverance, great miracle. And great pressure. I don't suppose that a leader could be any more pressure than to be on death row. How did he handle it? He believed. He said, I can do all things through Christ, or whatever he said. I don't know what he said. But he was so confident in God that he was able to sleep. So closing here, just think about those things that we've been taught. And there's other records where all other things happen that was taught this week, all in one record. We have a delivering God. And his deliverance should be spoken about. One of the things that we were encouraged to do when we got in God's word was tell people what God has done for you. Now, some of you that were raised in the word may have a difficult time with that one, but you shouldn't. Think of all the little things that God has done for you along the way. Think of all those little things that God did for you. And it's good to have a mental list of things God has done for you. Number one, it helps you be more thankful. Number two, to God, and appreciative to him and his son, Jesus Christ. Appreciative to him. And it also opens up a huge avenue for you to have fresh on your mind to share with people at your job, you know, at the gas station, to the mailman. You know, witnessing doesn't have to be a night where you all go out. Witnessing should be a life. I don't see any witnessing days scheduled in the book of Acts. There's nothing wrong with doing that. As a matter of fact, it's a lot of fun and it's great, but it should be a part of every fabric of our being. I love the Gilmores. One of the reasons I love the Gilmores so much is it seems as if whenever Diane and I go out with them, we speak the word to people. And it's not forced. And it's not getting yourself psyched up. What's the first thing I'm going to say? It's just our lives. Our lives. So Steve's the same way. It's our lives. That is what we like to talk about. I like to always ask waitresses what they think I do for a living. And nobody's ever said minister. And I love it. Last one I did that with was with Diane at a running shoe store. And she was a lesbian. And she was a dang nice girl, really nice person, really sweet. She really helped us. And I mean that. She was just really wonderful. And I said, what do you think I do for laughter? After a while, you know, I had her laugh. And she was gay. That's a joke. Gay means happy. Do you realize gay means happy? Yeah. Well, we ought to use it that way. So anyway... And I said, what do you think I do for a living? She said, real estate agent. I've never had that one. I wouldn't know anything about that. Real estate, I mean, I'd call a construction worker or a cop. Those are about the two things, you know, but real estate agent, really? I said, no, I'm a minister. And then she asked me what I thought of what happened in Orlando. you know, because everybody went nuts over that, politicizing it, and, you know, homo haters or whatever. You know, I said, okay, here it is. The devil is responsible for everything that's bad and evil. He's what kills people. He's what makes people sad. And God is a God of love. God is kind. He's loving. He's delivering. I said, that's what I believe. What do you think of that? She says, that sounds great. And I almost said, well, I'm glad you think so. But, you know, man, everybody wants to get wound up. You know, some of you guys even are Trump haters. You hate Donald Trump. You really do. And other you hate Hillary Clinton. And, you know, come on. Unless they're walking with God and have God's word, don't get on your high horse as a believer on your political stand. Shut up. Because it doesn't help anybody. Vote. Vote for whoever you desire to vote for. But good God, lay off of your high horse. You don't know nothing. What do you know? I did, however, I found much of all this stuff very amusing. It's like the best TV since the OJ trial. But when Donald Trump was on his "I am a Christian," you know, thing, and he very may well be, but somebody asked him what his favorite verse was. This is the best. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." He ought to remember that. It doesn't pay to do that. It pays to think, and it pays to, you know, pay a little bit of attention to what's going on, and then, you know, do your civil duty if you want to, and I encourage you to vote who you think is the best, not who Joe Morata thinks is the best or Bob Chatton. So he overcame fear by believing. The word of God moved. Prayer was involved. Manifestations. God sent an angel, good gravy, to help his man Peter. God will go to any extent to deliver us except to break his word. And we shouldn't have this idea of how God is going to do it. Because so many times our ideas are contrary to the way God will do it. So don't have it all figured out, because you know what? You don't have it all figured out. Nor do I. It's fun to envision deliverance. I mean, that, yeah, amen to that. But how God does stuff, you know, the way he does stuff, it could be a wink. Somebody could wink at you and you all of a sudden get healed. Somebody walk by and say, man, you're great. Thanks for all you do. And that's all you needed. Somebody could hug you and not say one darn thing. And the next thing you know, you're healed. It's like, what? You're astonished. You know? I had a fella a couple years ago in an advance who was not able to sleep through the night for many years, over a decade. Took pills and everything else. And still had a very, very difficult time sleeping. And at one point at that advance, I put my hand on his shoulder and just looked at him and smiled. And he wrote me a week later saying that he got instantly healed of that and just has slept like a baby ever since. See? And, you know, you don't know. That wasn't my approach at healing people. It was God working in to willing to do of his good pleasure. And you need to have confidence that God works in you. Okay? He works in you to willing to do of his good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure to help. He gets so happy to help. So oftentimes we get in his way. We get in his way by our own rules, regulations, and stipulations. just live, will you? Just live. Let the stuff go. Our premeditated thoughts of things the way they should be or not be. Or here's a good one. How is the word going to move? And you have a big meeting and you have big discussions and stuff. And that's fun to think about ways that we can move the word. But if you have that so set in stone, short of revelation, which God will at times show you where to go or show you what to do and how to do it, who to do it with, just walk. You know, just walk with God. So thank you all for coming. You're just God's masterpiece, every single one of you. Every one of you is like the most glorious painting, the most glorious exhibit in the whole wide world to God, to God. To God, you are his masterpiece. You individually are his masterpiece. You and I were what God was waiting for centuries and centuries and centuries. A place where he could dwell. A place where he could live and abide in you. And it's for a reason. One, that he could have a family. But as a father of a family, one that he could take care of. As a little baby allows a parent to nurse it, to pants it, put it to bed, sing to it. Is our Father in heaven any less intimate? Is he any less concerned for us, his children? No, he loves us. He is our helper. And we're just little kids with our hand up to Daddy. Help me, God. Help me, Dad. Help me get through this. And he just helps. Because he loves us, not because of anything that we did that was good, and not because of anything we did that was bad, even if it was 1 second ago. It says in Peter, casting all your care upon him, knowing that he cares for you. That's where we miss it. We cast the care, but we don't remember how much he cares for us. It's not how smart we are. It's not how many verses we know. It's not how right we are on certain things in the word or wrong. You know, God delivers people all over the place, not just people here. So let this be a springboard for all of us to get rid of our fears by accepting God's love and by believing his word. Let's pray for God to open wonderful doors of outreach. And let's have that knowingness in us that we can manifest God's power anywhere, anytime, at any place. And that God is not only willing but able to perform what his word says. And then, you know, pray. That's something we can do all the time. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with the understanding. Sing in the Spirit, which is good for me because I never remember my words. Sing in the understanding also. Pray. And then when the heat comes on, confess the word. Kind of blessed me last night that Chrissy said that, you know, what she shared. I kind of forgotten that, but as soon as she was getting to it, I remembered. You know, confess as he is, or what Joe said, greater is he that is in you. And as we do those things, we have a great life, a full life. Yeah, it's filled with drama, comedy, deliverance. I mean, you know, it's everything that you'd like in a good movie. And I'm as excited today about being part of the family of God and being part of this whole mystery deal as I was when I first got in the Word. I'm as eager to learn, I think, as I was when I first got in the Word, because I know I don't have it figured out. I don't have this life figured out. I don't have the template or anything else on how to run a successful ministry. Every day, before I get out of bed, I speak in tongues. I think, you know, get my head right. Have a cup of coffee. Pray. I do just what you do. Read the Word. Not to put a teaching together, but just to see God and how great he is. And then I just kind of, you know, I don't go to an 8-to-5 job, but I kind of make phone calls once in a while or have lunch with people or talk to people or just drive around the neighborhood, people in believers' houses. A lot of you see me drive by and pray, and just check. Then go home and handle anything I need to handle and take my nap, eat dinner and head out the door to the next fellowship. Come home, talk to Diane about what was shared if she wasn't with me. We discuss that, then wait for Taylor to come home or whoever's living with us at the time. What did they learn from fellowship? Who taught? Right, Ursie? That's what I do. I want to hear who taught and what they taught. And you know, that's my life. And then I go to bed. Well, I watch the sports, you know. And then I go to bed. So if you ever, now you never have to ask me, what do I do? That's what I do. And it's a simple, simple life. I have in many respects, just the most awesome life. I'm living way beyond my life's dream. I never would have dreamed that I could be able and have the privilege of doing this full time or whatever the word is. I could never be more thankful in my whole life to be able to fellowship with such wonderful people like you. You are absolutely the greatest people on earth. And I thank you for your stance on God's word. I thank you for everything that you've ever done to bless God. And I mean that. And there's plenty. There's plenty you've done to bless God. So I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time we've had together in your word. Thank you for how great you are, how powerful you are, how kind you are, how forgiving you are. Thank you for how you've ministered to each and every one of us individually this week. With the hearing of your word, Father, and with being with loving, kind, faithful people, just so healed and blessed and recharged. I pray, Father, for our health, our strength, and our soundness of mind, and ask you to do great exploits for each and every one of us because of your grace. And pray for a safe trip home in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.